This is Paul Jędrzejczyk for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined in studio by award-winning ZZM meteorologist George Lessons. How are you doing today, George?
Good, Paul. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. So a number of folks I've chatted with before who are meteorologists mentioned that they knew at a very young age, like before they were teens, that they wanted to be meteorologists or weather people. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, it's a passion of mine. It's been interested, excited about the weather since I was about 7 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a big weather event in West Michigan. Some of your older listeners are going to probably remember the Palm Sunday tornadoes.
Okay.
1965. Devastating here in West Michigan. A big outbreak of tornadoes across the Midwest. Not really unlike the one a couple of years ago down south. It just glanced West Michigan, but I was just a kid.
Okay.
And I thought the weather was absolutely amazing that day.
Now, was that Kalamazoo that hit?
That was 1980. That
okay.
was another big weather event. That's the last really large F3, F4
okay.
kind of tornado, May of 1980.
Okay.
But prior to that one, this was the big outbreak. And
okay.
Since 1980, we haven't had much here in West Michigan.
So the Palm Sunday one, was that in Grand Rapids?
Yes, that was
okay.
the northwest side of Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Came up through Comstock Park, and I believe there were a half a dozen tornadoes in the state of Michigan, one which was very deadly.
Okay. Now, so you were glued to the TV screen as a 7-year-old watching this?
Yeah, mostly looking outside as well. Back in the days of the early mid-60s, there wasn't a whole lot of warning on TV. It was pretty much after the fact kind of thing.
So
and seeing the coverage on TV going, wow, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Right,
I really want to do something like that.
Now, the day after or a few days after, did you ask your parents to take you to the scene of where this happened to take a look?
Nope, things went on as normal,
okay.
but my interest took off. I went to the library, went to the school library, tried to find everything I could about tornadoes.
Okay.
And there was one book in the school library, only one.
Really?
Hurricanes and Twisters.
Okay.
And I think I checked that book out a dozen times that spring. Just to read it, and I read it from cover to cover, and in fact, the cover wore off of the thing.
Really?
Yeah, that was it. That was one book that I could find.
Really? So, from there on, what steps did you take to feed your interest?
Just kept up with the weather. There was a very strong tornado a couple of years
okay.
later in 67, came through southeast Grand Rapids, destroyed one of the congregational churches there, came up where IHM is right now.
Oh, really?
Southeast Grand Rapids, East Grand Rapids, ended up going over toward Ada. And of course, you know, now I'm 9 years old, I'm going, this is really cool stuff, because now, you know, maybe this happens all the time, and I really want to be a storm chaser
sure,
and that
sure.
kind of thing, but what can you do at 9 years old?
Right, right. Well, it's a fun fantasy to have.
Oh, absolutely.
But I didn't know that we had anything that close. I live over on the southeast side, over by IHM, so I didn't know anything clipped us that close.
Yeah, that's why IHM has a brand new building. It's more relatively new compared to the neighborhood. That's why there's that big playground over there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It's very fascinating.
Oh, I never knew that. Now, you've been with ZZM since 1980. What are some of the important ways weather predicting and reporting technology has changed over that 30-plus period?
Wow, it's gone light speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, when I joined the team in 1980, fall of 1980, the best thing we had was four colors on a radar.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing we had for satellite pictures was this machine over in the corner made by UPI,
okay.
which is like the precursor of AP News.
Right.
They had this machine that would print out a glossy black and white photo every hour to show you what the satellite pictures look like. That we're all used to today.
And that certainly wouldn't cut it today by any means.
No.
I mean, everything is, you know, really clicking along. You have to know what's going on right down to the second.
Absolutely. And so that's changed dramatically. We used to point at that particular satellite picture with a little highlighted pointer off the screen, and we would show you, well, this is where the storm is coming from, and this
right.
is what's going to be here tomorrow. And that was the extent of it.
So it's more of these modern technologies came to be. What were some of your favorites as they came out?
Oh, man. We used to have teletype. I don't know if anybody remembers teletype. It was like the like a typewriter inside of a box that automatically would print out, and it was very, very slow. You would get maybe 300 characters every minute, and that would be our rip and read forecast.
Okay.
We had a machine on the wall that would that had wet paper in it. And a little electric spark would go across it, and it would create the weather maps.
Okay.
And those would take about 5 to 10 minutes to come out each. And we would sit there and analyze all the data. And it took about three quarters of our time to prepare the forecast, and about, maybe one quarter of our time to get the graphics ready for our television audience.
Okay.
Well, that is flip-flopped now.
All right. I can imagine.
Today, it's about 90% of our time is getting ready for the presentation.
Okay.
Like putting together a PowerPoint and getting all the information that folks are craving for these days. And about 10% of our time is gathering the information because it's all there for us.
Sure.
Just the advance and the speed of the communications has really improved our business a lot.
Sure. Now, what do you see as far as technologies on the horizon that you feel will even better help you predict what's going to be coming weather-wise?
Well, the big thing is up-to-the-minute forecasting. We think that we're good enough that our forecast will hold from the 6 hours before.
Right.
So up-to-the-minute forecasting, and that takes speed, bandwidth, if you will, to get that information to our users. Everyone is on cell phones and smartphones these days. They want their weather information wherever they're at.
Well, they're great for alerts because you're not necessarily going to be in front of a television, and you may be miles away from anything, and if there's a storm coming, you get it right then and there.
The next revolution is going to be bringing our television product video right to your phone.
Okay.
Right now, it's great for, you know, updates from Twitter, from Facebook. You can see static images, but very, very soon, in fact, it's already being introduced in many markets, is that you'll be able to see our broadcasts on your phone in real time.
Okay.
And if you want the latest broadcast, it'll always be there for you to go and click.
Sure.
So it's not going to be appointment television anymore.
Okay.
Where you have to sit down at 6:30 to get the news.
Right.
It'll be whenever you want it, wherever you want to get it.
Well, yeah, everybody's on the go so much, so it's kind of a very convenient way for folks to be able to do that.
Yeah, and we're up for the challenge.
Good. Now, so January made for some pretty interesting weather around here. I think there was one day where we pretty much had all four seasons in one day. What makes Michigan weather so unique?
Location, location, location.
And what is it about our location?
Well, we're not close enough to the ocean to have the temperate weather like Florida or Texas does, the Texas Gulf Coast anyway. We're not far enough north where we don't get, you know, when it's cold all the time. We're right in that temperate zone where we, you know, we occasionally get warm, we occasionally get cold. And occasionally we get wet.
Right.
And our side of the lake here in West Michigan, awesome place to be because we get a lot of snow and there's lake effect snow. It comes down.
And it just seems to hang there. I mean, I think there were about 2 days where it just kept snowing, snowing, snowing.
Ironically, up until the lake effect season really kicked in January, late January and here in early February, Muskegon area was running almost 4 feet behind in terms of snowfall.
Okay.
But the last three lake effect events, as of today, they have caught up and they are now a couple of tenths ahead of the average so far this season, all pretty much due to lake effect snow.
And where do you think the rest of the winter, where we're going to end up, is going to be?
It's going to still be very stormy the rest of the month of February into early March.
Okay.
And we may end up with pretty close to average snowfall. Now, at the beginning of the season, I predicted 65 inches worth here in Grand Rapids, which is about 10 inches below our normal.
Oh, really? Okay.
But right now, we're only 20 inches shy of that, and we could make that up in a couple, three snowstorms very quickly.
Now, we were talking about tornadoes earlier, and that piqued your interest as far as weather went. But what's some of the most memorable weather you've covered in your career? What sticks out most?
The pinnacle event was what we called the Wild Winds of 98.
Okay.
It was May 31, mm-hmm. 1998. It was a Saturday night, Sunday morning mm-hmm. at the end of May.
Was that the straight line winds?
That was the
yes.
straight line winds.
Okay.
Very strong area of thunderstorms developed up in South Dakota the previous day. And they were making a beeline across southern Minnesota and heading right toward lower Michigan. And I remember I was working the weekend shift at that time, mm-hmm. and we had just put into place what we call a Code 13.
Mm.
And this was in the event something catastrophic would happen. This was our emergency plan. So I went to my producer at Roxanne at the time mm-hmm. and said, "Hey, Roxanne, do you know anything about this Code 13? And she goes, "Are you serious?" I says, "Yeah, this storm complex coming out of South Dakota looks pretty intense."
Wow.
So the storm continues across Wisconsin. Now it's after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Steffen was my boss at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I call him at 2:00 in the morning. This is a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I call him on the phone and say, "Hey, Bill, listen to this." And I read off the tornado watch that they had just issued
okay.
for our area. And winds up to 100 miles an hour.
Oh, my.
Hail possible up to baseball in diameter. And he goes, "I'm coming in." And he only lived about a mile away. So
okay.
he got right down to the station. And we were poring over the data. And mm-hmm. Those storms came on shore right as exactly the time that we thought they would.
Okay.
And they came in about 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the air broadcasting away saying, you know, there's all this damage and there's storms coming. Please take shelter.
Mm-hmm.
The storm hits the building, our building, and our building wheezes. I don't know if you ever heard a building wheeze before.
I can imagine what it sounds
kinda goes,
like.
And I hear stuff hitting the roof.
Okay.
And I can't find Bill.
Well, where's Bill?
Bill is outside the door, looking out in the parking lot, watching the stuff come in.
I hope he's tied down.
And a Pizza Hut sign from the corner hit the top of the building.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty intense. I'm
wow.
yelling, "Bill, you need to get in here. We need you for later on today."
Sure, sure.
And just an incredible event. And of course, later that day, after we'd called Code 13 and everyone came in, we did the coverage that day.
Mm-hmm.
And my news director at the time said, "You really probably should go home and get some rest." And I said, "Why would I do
You're
that?
Too
this
amped
is
up.
This is the biggest thing
right.
in my career, and I am not going to miss a minute
Absolutely.
Of it." Absolutely. So we yeah. call that passion, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember that, and I remember going to Grand Haven a couple weeks later and going and looking at that condo that blew down.
Oh yes.
And that thing was just decimated, as were some of the other buildings there.
Just crazy event.
But they started out as tornadoes, but we ended up with straight line winds.
Straight line winds.
Okay.
It's called a derecho.
Okay.
And that just blasted all the way to the east. It went off the Massachusetts coast 24 hours later.
Okay.